On this 26th day of October 2011 in San Diego, we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are in Chapter 5, entitled Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. And we are studying text 20 of Chapter 5. Na parishe priyam prapya. Nodvijet prapya chapriyam. Stida buddhira sambudho. Brahmavidin brahmanistitaha. Translation, a person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant, nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. Purport. The symptoms of the self-realized person are given herein. The first symptom is that he is not illusioned by the false identification of the body with his true self. He knows perfectly well that he is not this body, but is the fragmental portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is therefore not joyful in achieving something, nor does he lament in losing anything which is related to his body. This steadiness of mind is called stitta buddhi, or self-intelligence. He is therefore never bewildered by mistaking the gross body for the soul, nor does he accept the body as permanent and disregard the existence of the soul. This knowledge elevates him to the station of knowing the complete science of the absolute truth, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. He thus knows his constitutional position perfectly well, without falsely trying to become one with the Supreme in all respects. This is called Brahman realization or self-realization. Such steady consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. Can we have an effort to maybe make sure that kitchen door is closed as long as Rohini's on the block? Om Gyanatimadandasya Gyanandana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmidatam Reena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master Srila Prabhupada opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So Krishna is describing someone who knows Brahman and who is situated in Brahman. And what does that mean? Well, this is explained elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita. Mamchayo vabicharena bhakti yogena sevete sagunan samatitai tan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. This brahma bhuya platform, a brahma bhuta platform, is a state of consciousness beyond the effects of the material modes of nature. The material modes of nature are they affect us, and they are the moving force really for this material energy. And they deal with dualities, in other words, good and bad. This is a world of duality, of hot and cold, high and low, pleasant and unpleasant, all of these things. And what is the criterion for whether we say something, oh, this is good or this is bad? Well, the general criterion is that it's pleasing either to my senses or to my mind or my ego, right? If someone praises me or I get a prize or something, then that's very pleasant. But it's not something you can measure as affecting the gross senses. It's the ego. It's the sense of pride in being better than others, whatever. So, but on the other hand, we know that if one gets insulted, he gets criticized strongly, this can be very painful for the self. So this is called duality, good and bad, he didn't call pleasure and pain. And we generally spend our lives in this world trying to maximize the pleasure and minimize the pain. And the mind is, we're very kind of sensitive. We kind of have our feelers out at all times. As soon as there's some unpleasantness, you know, it gets a little too hot, we reach for the air conditioner. You know, gets a little too cold, we reach for the heater. It's just a natural thing to do. Get hungry, you eat, like that. So, this is what Krishna is describing here is a state of being in which one is not controlled by these dualities. That even when it's materially unpleasant, one is not upset. One has an inner strength. And Krishna will talk about that In text 24, Anta Sukho, Antar Atma, Antar Jyoti. Antar means within. It means happy within, enjoying within, illuminated within. You see, this is it. Then what happens externally, you're kind of watching it. You know, you understand it. You feel the pleasures and the pain. But it's kind of something that you don't have to let your mind get agitated by. Now this famous verse by Prahlad Maharaj, he describes someone who's always udvigna. I think this word udvigna came in here. Yes. Udvijait is the same idea as udvigna. He uses, he tells his father, Tatsaramunye asudavarya dehinam sada samudvigna diyama sadgrahat. This is a 5-year-old boy. He's preaching to his father. His father was a big demon. He was just a very satanic kind of person. But his son was a devotee. He was saintly. He wouldn't hurt a fly. You know, he was a devotee of God. So his father wanted to know what he learned. As he's in school, 5 years old boy. So he tells him, "This is the best thing I learned, father." He calls him the best of the demons. That for those who are in this material world, an ordinary person, and are holding on to the impermanent in this world, this is called asat grahat, then one always has to be in anxiety. Think about it. In ordinary life, we rely on this body to kind of be our friend and do what we want, right? But the body is such a fragile thing. At any time, we can get sick, we can get an injury, and we're sure to get old, and the body's just not going to work so well anymore. You want to do something, like, I can't dance like I used to. You know, my legs just don't, if I jump up on and down on this stone floor, my ankle hurts the next day, I can hardly walk. But, you know, I have to reconcile that, the limitations of the body. So, but we don't want that. We want an ever-increasing, you know, platform of enjoyment. That's our natural state. The natural state of the soul, of the eternal spirit, is this sat-chit ananda state, being eternal, being full of knowledge and full of bliss. It's not that it's up and down like it is in this world. It's a constant, what's called sthi-bhava, steady ecstasy. We can't even imagine it. No drugs or anything, no coming down. It's like steady ecstasy with high points on top of that. That's the actual condition of the natural soul. But we're not in that condition now because we're controlled by this body. So he says, sadasa mudmigna diyama sadgrahat. Anyone, and it's practically everyone in this world, is holding on to the impermanent for dear life. But you see how tragic that is. Because you can never be satisfied and peaceful in that condition. It's compared to being in a boat that's leaking. You go into a boat on the ocean and you rely on the boat. You have faith it's going to be trustworthy. We've all seen that, you know of that phenomenon, the Titanic, you know. It was people had trusted that, you know. This is a Titanic. It can't be sunk. The hubris, even God cannot sink it, it's a famous statement by the captain or somebody. So, but then what happened? You know, all of that confidence, all of that faith was shattered. And suddenly, there's this tremendous fear. Because we've placed our faith and our confidence in something that's not steady. That's sure to fail us. But each of us is floating along in our own little Titanic. It may not come today or tomorrow, but eventually this body will fail us. And everything that we value that's in relation to this body, which is really everything, our friends, our money, our parents, our children, our lovers, that's all going to disappear. All of those relations are going to be broken. And you know, we generally speaking, we die in great anxiety and suffering. So you can see the value of coming to the point of being equal poised in unpleasant things, even in the greatest difficulty. Since we all have books, we can turn quickly to text 20:23 in the next chapter, called Dhyana Yoga, chapter 6. You see those texts 20 to 23, and we'll find that there's a line, the second line to the end is Yasmin stito dukena gurunapi vichalyate. You see that? That's the Sanskrit. And what that means is If you look at the translation near the end, it says, being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arises from material contact. So what a valuable thing that is. Aside from the positive happiness of being in the state of Brahman, of contact with the Supreme Brahman, which is Krishna, just the other side of not having to suffer, of being fixed and being able to tolerate and being on a different platform and amidst the greatest suffering. So that's what's being described here on both sides. You see, it says Naparishya Priyam Prayam, Nodvijay Prapya Chapriyam, means that one is not Udvijayat, same word as Udvigna, is not disturbed even when getting things that are not dear, apriyam, unpleasant things. And on the other side, and you have to have both sides, you're also not rejoicing and losing your composure when nice things happen to you, when something pleasant to the senses comes. Both sides have to be transcended, if you will. Krishna spoke about this already in the second chapter. Second chapter is a summary. What does Prabhupada call it? Contents of the Gita summarized. So he has a section where he talks exactly about this. Dukesh vanud vignamana, sukeshu vigatas paha, vita raga bhaya krodhya stita dhir munarichite. That platform of having one's intelligence steady is a yogic position. So what does he describe it? Dukesh vanud vignamana, even when there's something that would cause everyone else unhappiness, your mind is not udvigna. There's the same word again. Dukeshu anudvignamana. Your mind is not disturbed. And on the other side, sukeshu vigataspraha. That those things which you would ordinarily run after to get some material happiness, sukeshu vigataspraha. You're not running after them. And then vitaraga bayakrodha. You've given up material attachment, and with it, fear and anger. Just see that this whole world is being thrown around by fear and anger. This whole war on terrorism, which is crazy. It's like a war on fear. Yeah, this is the war on fear right here. You can't do it out there by causing everyone to be afraid. What happens when you send an army over there to try to conquer terrorism? Can you conquer fear that way? Anyway, that's huge. The terrorizing of a population or causing fear to someone is a tremendous sin. It's an act of violence, even if you don't actually do anything. So to be able to be free of fear and anger by becoming free of attachment, it's that attachment that gives rise to the fear and anger. So if you can be detached from the externals as far as possible, live a simple life, and be illumined within, happy within, aiming within, in other words, Krishna conscious. In other words, linked up to Brahman. Here he goes, Brahma Vit. You see that? Stita Buddhir, steady intelligence, not bewildered. Brahma Vit, Brahmanistita. He knows Brahman and is situated in Brahman. And that's exactly what Krishna consciousness is. Because the Supreme Brahman is Krishna, is a person. It's not a force, it's not a light, it's actually the Supreme Person. It's inconceivable in our present state of mind that could be. But logically speaking, just on the effect cannot have something greater than the cause. When you think about anything that's produced, this microphone or something, it started out as an idea. It started out as a diagram somewhere. And someone who knew about all the things that it takes to make a microphone designed it before anything was built, right? Now, this microphone is not going to have anything more than the sum total of all the intelligence that went into making it. That's a precursor. Sure, it has other things like metal and whatever else goes into it, but that's crude. Those are like the ingredient cause. But you take the ingredient cause and you take the idea and you take all of the intelligence that went into it and that's produces the microphone. Now, think about us. We're all extremely complex persons, right? Yeah, we have our body and our senses, but that's the least of it. What about our mind? What about our desires? What about our everything that goes into make a person, right? Name, form, qualities, characteristics, character, activities. So we're all persons here in the room. Do we think that the ultimate cause of us can be anything less than a person? Where did this personhood come? Where did consciousness come from? To think that it arose by some molecules beating together is idiocy. And then we've never seen it happen. You see a watch lying on the ground. You think, yeah, somebody built it. Somebody dropped it. It didn't just grow there from the grass. And in 10 million years, it will never grow from the grass. It just doesn't happen that all of this complexity and information and culture and in infinite variety comes from an undifferentiated primordial soup. Sorry. The original has to have all of the complexity that we see here and more. Prabhupada makes this point in the beginning of the Ishopanishad. So the ultimate Brahman, the Brahman means great. You know, the great spirit is a person, just as we're persons. Aham Brahmasmi, this is one of the first things you learn. We used to learn that, first day. I am spirit. I'm not this body. What a revelation. Now you have to learn to act on that spirit, that platform. But what does spirit mean? It means consciousness. It means intelligence. And as soon as you have conscious intelligence and you have senses, you have a person. So each of us has the spiritual form that we are ignorant of, completely ignorant. But the basic point of that spiritual form is that we're servants. We're servants of God. Not the senses. You serve the senses and you stay in the bodily concept of life. And that's mudha. Here he says, asamudha. You'll be a mudha, you'll be a fool. You're identifying with something that's constantly changing. Why is it that the cosmetic industry cosmetic surgery industry is so huge? Is it $5 billion or more? Why? Why is it that the Botox industry, the cosmetic industry, the gyms and everything? Because everybody wants to stay the way they are. They want to stay young and vibrant. Nobody wants to get old, right? Time, in one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, it sucks out the youth and the energy of the body. Just as the bright sun will, suck up the water in a pond somewhere. Sorry, that's what happens. But the good news is that we ourselves are eternally youthful as spirit. And if we act on that basis and live on that basis, then even into old age, we can feel ourselves to be young in spirit. And we saw it with Srila Prabhupada, our esteemed spiritual master. Even into his late 70s and 80, he had the energy, the enthusiasm, the joy of youth. Body didn't always cooperate. But it's the state of consciousness that counts. Because if you know I'm not this body, then what's the big deal? I'm 18 years old. I'm driving a 75 Oldsmobile. But I can jump out of the Oldsmobile and I'll be alive. But if I'm thinking, oh my God, I am this Oldsmobile. Just like when I used to have this car. Everyone knows I had this Ford car, Escort. It was in 93. I got it in 96. I just got rid of it this year. So that's like an old junker, I mean, it actually drove pretty well, but it was older than almost all the cars on the road, Now, if I was, in the game, and I was thinking, oh my God, people are going to think that I'm really out of it if I drive this old car, I would be totally depressed. I'm driving this old car, and I'm, I'm an old guy driving an old car. But that didn't bother me. I didn't care one bit, Because I'm not the external car, and I'm not this car. This is also a car. You know what I mean? So this is the magic of Krishna consciousness. It's actually an elixir that keeps you young in spirit, because it's natural to be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and to serve Krishna and to glorify Krishna, and it completely puts you on this Brahman platform. So that you can be steady, even in the waves and whirlpools of this material world. And this is a great platform to aspire for. Any questions on this particular verse?
So yes, Prabhu. When he's on the Brahman platform, if they don't have the Bhagavan realization, they don't have attachment for Krishna, they're also subject to samsara?
Then it's not steady. You can't stay steady in that. Because by nature, we are active beings. We have senses, and we want. So, if we suppress that, you know, due to, like, by great will, it's described in the Bhagavatam, that someone who is averse to the personal conception of God, the way it's put is, ye and ye arvindaksha vimukta maninas tvayashta bhavad avishuddha buddhiya. So what he's saying that there, besides the Vaishnavas, besides the personalists, there are others, anye, who are not so pure in consciousness, avishuddha buddhiya. And therefore, avishuddha buddhiya, ye and ye arvindaksha vimukta maninas tvayashta bhavad avishuddha buddhiya. So, O lotus eyed Lord, they are averse to serving your lotus feet. And so they're pure. And so even though some of them, and it's very difficult, you know, to really suppress the senses and the mind, but some may, by great effort, rise up to this Brahman platform, means that they're equipoised. They're experiencing Brahmananda, you know. But they can't stay there. They can't stay there. And so it says, Adhu Kutrena Padang Padang. Parang Padang means this Brahma Bhuta platform of being beyond the modes of nature for some time. But then, patantyadho, they fall down again. Patantyadho anadvita yushmarangriya, because they're averse to worshipping your lotus feet. So Prabhupada compares it to like going up in the space capsule. In his day, they were just starting to go up in the space capsules. So he had, for a long time, he had this shuttle going up, you know. And they went up and then it came down. It went up and came down, right? They didn't find a place to stay there permanently. So the attention is still down. Prabhupada gave the example, one of these first guys was Russians. The Russians actually sent the first astronaut up, who stayed up and went around. So he described what he was doing. He's going up and going up, but he's looking down. Where's Moscow? You know, from the capsule there, seeing the little Moscow. So his mind is still down there. There's nothing up there for him. You know, what he's doing, he's coming down so he can be famous of having gone up there. But he doesn't want to stay there. To find a place to stay means to find a world where you can be happy forever. And that's Krishna's world. So the only steady platform of Brahman realization is para-Brahman realization of Krishna, where you're in a life of service eternally on a planet. You know, in a state of consciousness that you don't want to come down from and you don't have to come down from. That's only in Krishna consciousness. So that's the idea. Without the personal conception, Brahman realization cannot be fixed. Yeah, that's the idea. All right, let's go on. Okay, Bayasparshe Svasaktatma. This is text 21. Bhayasparshe svasaktatma vindatyatmane yatsukham sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukhamakshayamashnute. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. Purport. Sri Yamanacharya, a great devotee in Krishna consciousness, said, Yadabadimamacheta Krishna padaravinde navanamanasadhamam yudhitam rantam asit tadabadibadanadi sangame smaryamani mbhavatimukavikara sushtu nishtivanamcha. Since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. A person in Brahma Yoga or Krishna consciousness is so absorbed in the loving service of the Lord that he loses his taste for material sense pleasure altogether. The highest pleasure in terms of matter is sex pleasure. The whole world is moving under its spell, and a materialist cannot work at all without this motivation. But a person engaged in Krishna consciousness can work with greater vigor without sex pleasure, which he avoids. That is the test in spiritual realization. Spiritual realization and sex pleasure go ill together. A Krishna conscious person is not attracted to any kind of sense pleasure due to his being a liberated soul. So this is a perfect example here of how, first of all, the verse, Bayasparsheshu Asaktatma. So Bayasparsheshu means external touch. You know, this is all of the senses. Asaktatma, not attracted. Vindati yatmana yatsukam. Again, this, you know, enjoying the pleasure within, Atmani. What is within? Within our hearts, Krishna is there, right? The individual soul is there, and also God is there. So we can't perceive him now, but by the process of Krishna consciousness, we become able to. The wonderful verse by Lord Brahma, Brahma Samhita, we haven't chanted for a while, where he says, Premanjana chudita bhakti vilochanena santasa daivuridiyeshu vilokayanti yang shama sunda damachinda guna sarupam govinda mari purushanta namaja. That those who have anointed their eyes with the salve of love of God can always see within themselves this wonderful form of shama sundar. It's not that they imagine it, they can actually see what's really there. Achintya guna, you know, inconceivable potencies. Santa, so the santas, here we have this word santa. Hey, we're sitting in San Diego, it's the same word. San, santa, santa, saint. The saints, sadaiva vidyeshu, within the heart, they can see. Now, when Krishna is there, that means everyone is there. Krishna doesn't alone. His whole world is there, his gopis are there, his friends are there, his mother's there, his world is there. Within everyone's heart. It's inconceivable. There's no restriction of place or not enough room. He's there. That's the amazing thing of spirit. There's no limitation of time and space. So, but we're looking at, you know, we're looking outside at the reflection rather than inside at the reality. But here, the realized soul who is in touch with Brahman is described as Brahma Yoga Yuktatma, his soul linked up in yoga to Brahman, Parabrahman, Krishna. And then these wonderful words, sukham akshayam ashnute, enjoying unbreakable happiness. Where do you find that in the material sphere? It cannot be found. That's the nature of material happiness. It comes and it goes. No matter how pleasurable something is, it ends. You know, something that's pleasure to the senses are limited. I always come back to drugs because they're like the distilled, you know, pleasure, right? But it's limited by your poor brain. You know, you can only, whatever they're doing to the synapses and the, I forget the chemical, the serotonin, it's limited. And the downside is enormous. You know, little pleasure, a lot of misery, huge suffering. That's not true for this here. Sukham akshayam, unending happiness. As long as you're thinking of Krishna, if you're absorbed in Krishna, you'll be happy. The problem is where the mind is rebelling against that. But when we surrender, when we actually realize our real nature as servants, you know, we're serving now, but we're not remembering Krishna all the time. So sometimes we're not happy in the service. We feel a little agitated or a little uneasy, or we want to sleep or whatever. But it's that absorption of the mind in Krishna. This is like the Shanta Ras. Shanta, Shanti, Shanti, peaceful. Shanta Ras means you're completely happy just thinking of Krishna, and you have no tinge of desire for material life. Material sense pleasure. That's the nature of being Krishna conscious. That's the platform upon which the other rasas or relations are built. The real dasya ras means you're always thinking of Krishna. You're always happy, but you also want to serve. You want to have an active relationship with Krishna in service. You know, that's the basic platform of bhakti. So here we see Yamunacharya. Now he was a king. He had been a king. Kings have all the facility for sense gratification. But here he's even to the point, he's literally, he's distasteful. You know, we can relate to it a little bit, even in our neophyte stage. Who wants to, you know, is anyone ever think, I gotta go, you know, just hold me back, I gotta go get a hamburger? Yeah, you can't even think about it, you know. That's Krishna's cow there, you know. That's horrible. What happened to that poor cow? And all the pain and suffering and chemicals and the horror that causes. So that's just your knowledge. You know, the same senses are there, let's face it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was 22 years. I didn't think twice about getting a hamburger. I had plenty of them. Steaks, hamburgers, and everything else. You know? But when I tasted Krishna consciousness, read about it, and really understood the reality of what it means, my lips twist into distaste, and I could spit at it. I don't care how, you know, so-called attractive. It's just not attractive anymore. That can also be there for all the drugs and all the intoxication and the illicit sex. It can also be there. It's unnatural, you know. So that's the but the key is namanamana sadama nyuditam, that he's experiencing newer and newer pleasure in relation to serving Krishna. How can it be newer and newer? You see, that's not material. It's not newer. It's stale. It becomes staler and staler. That other famous verse by Prahlad, where he described matirna krishne padataksvato va mito bipadete grihavatan adanta gobhir visitamta mishram punak punascharvita charvananam. He says those who are determined not to put their mind on Krishna, they're completely absorbed in the objects of the senses, called adanta gobhir. The senses are out of control. And no matter what happens, they don't want to hear about it. That's what they're fixed on. So what is it? The essence of that is punak punascharvita charvananam. Again and again, chewing that which has already been chewed. A little different covering, and we think, oh, it's something completely new. You're like the computers. I would have been happy. As Krishna's my witness, I would have been completely happy just to stay with my old XP computer. It was 7 years old, but the motherboard went out, and I had to do something. But they don't want you to, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, no way. New operating system, faster, better, this and that. My car was perfectly fine. Oh, wait a minute. I drove in a friend's car. You go back and you got a little radar in the back, so the alarm goes off if you get too close to the back, right? That would be nice to have. I wouldn't have to worry about banging it. All right, I'll spend $15,000 on you. See the absurdity of it. There's a conspiracy to make you dissatisfied in this world with what you have. So you'll buy more and more unnecessary things. But for devotee, one of the things about doing is you live as simply as possible. Look at this wardrobe. Whoa. Who cares, right? Satisfied. It's clean, pressed, decent. What do we spend a year? $25, $50 max on a wardrobe. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? But the idea is that you're not, worrying that you don't have the fashion, because it's absurd. You're just moving through this world, try to achieve some progress in spiritual life. You got another one coming on, another life coming in the future, whether it's spiritual body or material body. It's not going to be this body. This model is going out sooner or later. Junkyard, finished. So what's our destiny going to be? Are we just going to let it, are we just going to let be moved along by forces beyond our control? Or are we going to take charge? We have it in our hands to form a consciousness. The state of your consciousness is the determining factor as to what your future will be. And every day, whatever we do is forming that consciousness. So if we follow the program, the discipline of Krishna consciousness, the sadhana, we can form our consciousness in such a way that we can escape from this birth and death. We don't have to be imprisoned in a material body, which means suffering. It just means suffering. So this is a perfect example. Nava nava dasa dhaman yuditam runtum. Runtum is enjoying. If we can get to that point, then even the greatest disturbance won't disturb us. We're kind of hanging by a thread here. I remember when Fukushima went up. Remember that? See, I come from the 60s. Believe it or not, I grew up in the 50s, last century. And that whole thing, the Cold War, many of you don't even remember the Cold War very much. But it was like, my God. They've got 50, they've got 5,000 nuclear weapons pointed at us, and we've got 5,000 nuclear weapons pointed at them, and the whole planet can go up. Imagine, I grew up with that in the back of your mind all the time. So, but then the Soviet Union went down, and the Cold War is over, and actually what happened was in this state, we had what is called a peace dividend. Well, we don't have to spend so much money, right? Billions and billions. But that meant that a lot, in California, a lot of these companies shut down. There's a big defense industry here, so it was kind of depression or a little recession. Anyway, that be as it may, time went on. And just this year, wasn't it, early in March, suddenly there's this huge earthquake, and now you've got Fukushima, and you've got radiation going and spewing all over the place. Duh. Have you ever gone up on I-5? What do we got up there? San Onofre. It's sitting right on a fault. They have pools and pools of spent radioactive stuff. You know? If there's a big earthquake, there can be a tsunami that can go out. And then this city becomes uninhabitable. Yeah, right where we're sitting. Can anyone say that the earthquake will not absolutely happen in the next half hour? All I'm saying is that it is an illusion to think that there's any security here. There's always some disaster coming. And with the internet, it's even worse. Because all kinds of disasters that you didn't even know about, suddenly you have to know about. What about that asteroid? What about, you know, this, that, this, you know, isn't it? People are in more anxiety than they ever were before. But it's always been that way. Ultimately, this world is a world of death, Martya Loka, certified by Krishna. So we're not pessimists. We're actually great optimists. But we are pessimists that you can be happy and secure here. And so Krishna is encouraging us, the Vedic literature is encouraging us, inquire into that platform of Brahman, which is spoken of here, by which you can really get beyond the dualities of this world and reach that state, which we can't see, but we have to have faith in, with all of these great intellects and realized souls telling us it's true, where we don't have to be subject to all of this craziness in this material world. That's the idea. And here's just one little Sukha Mokshaya Mashtade. You know, to enjoy unbreakable happiness, it's not a myth. You know, we've seen it. Any questions? The next verse actually goes with this verse. Ye hi sangsparsha ja bhoga dukkha yona ya evate adyanta vanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. In other words, the pleasures that come from contact with the senses are themselves sources of misery. Plus, they have a beginning and an end. So if you're intelligent, do not delight in them. Purport. Material sense pleasures are due to the contact of the material senses, which are all temporary because the body itself is temporary. A liberated soul is not interested in anything which is temporary. That itself bears repeating. A liberated soul is not interested in anything which is temporary. Knowing well the joys of transcendental pleasures, how can a liberated soul agree to enjoy false pleasure? In the Padma Purana it is said, Ramante yogino nante satyanande chidatmani iti rama padenaso padam brahmabhi diyate. The mystics derive unlimited transcendental pleasures from the absolute truth, and therefore the supreme absolute truth, the personality of God, it is also known as Rama. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, 5.5.1, it is said, Nayam deho deya bhajang niloke krishtan kaman artate vidbhujange tapo divyam putra kayena sattvam shudye yasman brahma saukyam twanantam. My dear sons, there is no reason to labor very hard for sense pleasure while in this human form of life. Such pleasures are available to the stool eaters, the hogs. Rather, you should undergo penances in this life by which your existence will be purified, and as a result, you will be able to enjoy unlimited transcendental bliss. Therefore, those who are true yogis or learned transcendentalists are not attracted by sense pleasures, which are the causes of continuous material existence. The more one is addicted to material pleasures, the more one is entrapped by material miseries. There's a t-shirt line. Let's put it, say it again. The more one is addicted to material pleasures, the more one is entrapped by material miseries. So, these two verses together, 21 and 22, are, to me, very revelatory, you know, because they say it all. This is a revolutionary statement. The pleasures, the bhoga, that comes from the contact of the senses with the sense objects are themselves the sources of your misery. Now, if you don't have any other means of pleasure, then this is a devastating, you know, statement. You know, but it's obviously true. You know, go back to drugs again. Obviously, these drugs you take, and maybe the source of pleasure, or else you wouldn't take them. But they're also the sources of your misery. The pleasure is your source of misery because it induces you to take the drug, which then destroys your nervous system and wrecks your life. Right? So you can see how this bhoga, this sansparsha bhoga, is our greatest enemy. Because it draws us into a situation which is self-destructive. It's very dramatic with drugs, but it's true of everything. All the pleasures of this world are addictive in their own way, and they cause misery by at least, as Rishabh Dev says, not in this verse, but a few verses hence, that nunam pamata kuradevi karma, that one who is simply interested in indriya priti, sense gratification, is sure to get a body which is a source of misery. Another body. So that's the first line. And another, adyanta vantak, they have a beginning and an end, which itself is miserable. Nateshu ramate buddha. So the intelligent person doesn't take pleasure there. Previous verse, you know, it kind of amplifies it. Where is the pleasure? Atmani yatsukam. The pleasure within. You remember, the Krishna's in there. Premanjana sthulita bhakti vilochanina. So you're in touch with Krishna. Now, when we do anything externally, you know, I remember reading that when the pujari is offering arti to the deity, he's really contacting the supersoul. It's the supersoul within that's giving all the consciousness and the pleasure that's coming from working outside. So the intelligent person knows it at the beginning, the nateshu ramate buddha. But we need ramate, we need pleasure somewhere. So that's explained nicely in this purport. Ramante yogino anante, the same idea, endless enjoyment. This is real bliss, satchanande, chidatmani. It's spiritual. It comes from the soul contacting Krishna. Therefore, iti rama pade naso. How many times do we say rama every day? If you come, if you're able to come, is this up for a class you're doing? A class? Yeah, if you really want to do field work, you come in the morning, early.
Early.
First service, 4:30. If you can't come at 4:30, come at 5, it's okay. And at 5:15, you'll see us all meditating in here by chanting japa. You've seen chanting on the beads?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we can do a demonstration after the RT. But we're sitting for 2 hours, pretty much 5:15 to 7:15, or close to it. Some of us sit for a long time, some walk around, but we're all trying to concentrate on this mantra, the sound. You know, and we see one of the names, Rama. Notice that in this verse, Rama Padenasa. The Supreme is known as Rama. Rama means the source of unlimited spiritual bliss, the supreme enjoyer. You see? And we're part and parcel of that Rama. That bliss is ours. If we reform our consciousness, cleanse our consciousness. Param Brahma Abhidhyate. So the Supreme Brahman, who is Krishna, as certified in chapter 10, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, you are that, is also known as Rama. So this is really a name for Krishna. There's no difference. And this is, you know, wonderful statements. This is real bliss. It's chit atmani. It's spiritual. And it's endless. It's endless. This is the difference. Now, this other important verse, this is the first verse of the fifth chapter. This is very famous. Prabhupada gave 10 lectures in a row on it in the 70s. So here it, you know, he lays it down, you know, in stark terms. And reminds me of this verse we're coming up on in the morning class, which is, now it's leaving me. Forget. But anyway, he says, Nayam deho deha bhajang nirloke. If you take birth in the human form of life, nirloke means human beings, then you shouldn't struggle very hard just to fulfill the desires of the senses. Because the hogs and the dogs are doing that. Don't be an animal. So what do I do then? Topo divyam is very significant. Means you have to perform penance or austerity. You have to deny this. You have to embrace that. You know, this is important. Not for some, you know, self-flagellation or anything, but in order to purify the existence. By that austerity, and in Krishna consciousness, the austerities are not extreme, but they're there, then sattvam shudyate, your consciousness will become purified. Chaito darpana marjanam, the mirror of the heart will be cleansed, you know. And then from that purification will become brahma saukya, spiritual happiness, which is ananta, endless. So you can see the stark difference here. The dogs and the hogs and the cats and the birds and the human beings who are living animal life are also enjoying, but they're not enjoying Brahma-saukya, and it's certainly not ananta. According to this statement by Krishna, that the pleasure is the source of your pain. You can't have one without the other. I am sorry. You know, however pleasant it is, you know you're going to have a corresponding amount of pain. Actually, you'll have more. Spiritual life means little pain, endless pleasure. Material life means little pleasure, virtually endless pain. Think about it. Which is the good bet? But unfortunately, we are so conditioned that we always fall into this mentality of procrastination, or maybe later, or I can't do it, or whatever, you know. And this is why, you know, we may have to take another birth or whatever. But the philosophy is here. The practice is proved, you know. People, so many other individuals have gotten to that point of Brahman, platform of being equal poised in happiness and distress and enjoying the pleasure within in Krishna consciousness. Very simple. And in this age, it's become so easy just to focus on chanting the holy name. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. If you want to achieve the supreme goal of life in this age, when dissension and chaos abound, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way that can ever be found. But to chant Krishna's name, to chant Krishna's name, to chant Krishna's name with a stout-hearted vow, and to pray, O Lord Krishna, O friend of the poor, let my head ever unto your lotus feet bow. Any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. We have a few minutes. We can wrap it up. Thank you very much. We're going to have a little kirtan now. This is our dynamic meditation. Have you been in a kirtan before? No? Okay, you'll see. This is where the chanting and dancing comes in. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.